Welcome to the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report. Nooshigak saw the biggest harvest yesterday, with half of the bay's total daily catch after that section's first opener. Igigik's escapement is now behind last year's at this time. Yesterday, the total run in the Naknek-Quijack district passed 100,000. It's Friday, June 26. I'm your host, Izzy Ross.
Gone fishing. There's a sign upon your door.
Coming up tonight, an internal memo sent to NOAA Fisheries employees outlined new rules on what they can and can't say about the pandemic.
In the process of writing those rules, thou shalt not use the word or term COVID-19 or pandemic unless it's absolutely necessary.
We have more information about two of the Bristol Bay Borough's COVID-19 cases from Wednesday. Culture camps kick off in Dillingham this month, but the kids aren't gathering together this year. Instead, they're learning from home.
The fish, they like go to a river and lay their eggs, and then once the eggs hatch, they swim out in the open, and then they come back to lay their eggs.
And we have the second part of our interview on boat health with Dr. Kathy Heineman. All that and more on the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report.
The Bristol Bay Fisheries Report is brought to you by the Bristol Bay Regional Seafood Development Association. Ensuring long-term growth is the world's greatest salmon fishery through investment in Bristol Bay science, infrastructure, marketing, and quality. The Bristol Bay RSDA, we're on board with you.
First, we're going to take a look at the numbers. Starting on the west side, in the Nooshigak District, yesterday's drift and set net openers brought in 160,000 sockeye for a season total harvest of 193,700. Igushik set netters caught 20% of that 160,000, Nooshigak set netters caught 35%, and the Nooshigak drifters caught the other 45%. Total escapement in the Nooshigak District yesterday was 119,000, bringing the escapement total to 362,200. Total run in the Nooshigak is 555,800 fish. That's just about 2 million fish less than this time last year. That lag is mostly seen in the catch, which had topped 2 million by this point last year. The drift fleet in the Nooshigak had a 5-hour opener this morning, and set netters in the district had their opener end just a couple of hours ago. The Nooshigak River sonar counted 73,900 sockeye yesterday for a total escapement of 187,600. It also recorded escapement of 5,650 kings for a total king escapement of 21,600 and 9,400 chum. The chum escapement is now at 23,700. The crew at the Wood River counted 10,500 sockeye as of 6 a.m. this morning, bringing escapement totals up the Wood to 179,000 fish. In the Igushik River, the tower crew counted 1,830 sockeye as of 6 a.m., bringing the total escapement in that river to 7,900. There aren't any escapement numbers yet for Togiak, but the section saw 130 fish catch yesterday, bringing the season total catch to 800 sockeye. In 2019, the Togiak run was 10,000 fish further along than it is now, but Togiak is a traditionally later run. Now over to the east side. Yesterday, Igigik's escapement was about 7,000 fish ahead of last year. Today, it's 60,000 fish behind. 19,500 fish escaped upriver in Igigik yesterday, bringing the season total escapement to 116,900. After yesterday's opener in Igigik, harvest increased by 87,000 fish. The season total harvest is now at 233,100. The Igigik drift fleet caught 87% of yesterday's harvest, and the set netters caught the other 13%. Catch still lags behind 2019 by about 500,000. The total run in Igigik is now at 370,000. Igigik is having an opener right now that ends at 9:45 p.m. for drift boats and at 11:45 p.m. for set netters. In the Naknek-Quijack district, yesterday's drift and set netters harvested 40,000 fish, bringing the total harvest to 74,800. That breaks down to 3.5% of the harvest from Quijack set netters, 18% from the Naknek set netters, and 78% from the drift fleet. Total escapement to the Alagnak, Quijack, and Naknek rivers was 15,500, making the season total escapement for the district 54,000. Yesterday, the total run in the Naknek-Quijac District passed 100,000 fish and stands at a grand total of 127,800. In Ugashik, yesterday's catch was 8,800 fish, bringing the total harvest to 9,044, which is also the total run number. There are still no escapement numbers in Ugashik, but Ugashik is just a bit ahead of the catch and total run counts from 2019, which had just passed the 7,500 mark a year ago today. 6,868 sockeye passed through the Chignik Weir yesterday, and 6 passed through as of 6 a.m. this morning. That brings the total run count to 48,700, with 47,700 of those fish in the early run and 1,000 in the late run. Yesterday, 6 Chinook salmon passed through the weir, and no additional kings this morning. This brings the total number of kings there to 30. Harvest information from yesterday in Area M is being kept confidential due to a limited number of processors. As it stands, last public information released by the fishery shows a harvest of 2,230 Chinook, 268,900 sockeye, 1.5 million pinks, and 409,800 chums. As of 9 a.m. this morning, there were 1,075 vessels fishing the bay. 306 of those were D-boats. That's a total of 1,367 permits. Breaking down where those boats are fishing, once again, the Nooshigak far outstrips the other districts, with almost half of the fleet fishing there. That's 532 vessels, 170 of which are D-boats. On Sunday morning at 9 a.m., just one of the D-boats will leave, bringing the district total vessels to 531 and the D-boats to 169. Igigik also maintains its second place for registration. As of 9 a.m., there are 264 vessels there, 65 of which are D-boats. That's almost 25% of the bay-wide fleet. In 48 hours, there will be 281 vessels, 73 of which will be D-boats. The Naknek-Quijac District comes third for vessel registrations, representing 21% of the fleet. Right now, there are 179 single-permit boats and 50 D-boats, which will increase to 190 single-permit vessels and 56 D-boats at 9 a.m. Sunday. In Togiak, there are still 31 vessels fishing and no D-boats. That won't be changing in the next 48 hours. And in Ugashik, 19 boats are fishing, 6 of which are D-boats. They'll add 2 D-boats on Sunday morning for a total of 21 vessels. The boats of the Port Muller Test Fishery fished some of the odd-numbered stations yesterday to assess the width of the band of fish caught at Station 10. Breaking down yesterday's numbers, Station 2 had an index of 0, catching no fish. Station 4 had an index of 12, 6 in the 5 and an 8 inch mesh. Station 6 had an index of 2, 1 in the 5 and an 8th inch mesh. Station 8 had an index of 34, 8 in the 4.5 and 9 in the 5 and an 8th. Station 9 had an index of 42, 4 in the 4.5 and 17 in the 5 and an 8th. Station 10 had an index of 70, 24 fish in the 4.5 and 12 in the 5 and an 8th. Station 11 had an index of 54, 11 fish in the 4.5 and 15 in the 5 and an 8th. Station 12 had an index of 110, 27 fish in the 4.5 and 30 in the 5 and an 8th. Station 13 had an index of 27, 11 fish in the 4.5 and 2 in the 5 and an 8th. Station 14 had an index of 33, 15 in the 4.5 inch mesh. Station 16 had an index of 18, 3 in the 4.5 and 5 in the 5 and an 8th. Station 18 had an index of 4, 2 in the 4.5 inch mesh. Station 20 had an index of 3, 1 in the 4.5 inch mesh. Station 22 had an index of 88, 43 in the 4.5 and 1 fish in the 5 and an 8th inch mesh. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back on the Fish Report.
Support for KDLG and the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report comes from Hatton Marine in Ballard, Washington, supporting and servicing the Bristol Bay fishery for the last 20 years. Parts and service requests online at hattonmarine.com or 888-283-5639.
and we're back on this Friday evening. There were no new COVID-19 cases reported in Bristol Bay yesterday or today. As of the last counts we received, there are 21 active cases in Bristol Bay Borough, 16 in Lake and Peninsula Borough, and 16 in the Dillingham Census Area. The total Baywide is 53 cases. Those numbers include residents and non-resident workers. North Pacific Seafoods confirmed today in an email that two positives were discovered at their red salmon cannery in Naknek, and that the people who tested positive at the plant were transported to Anchorage via private charter, and that rapid tests for close contacts of the known positive cases have so far been negative. Silver Bay Seafoods confirmed on Wednesday that three positive cases from last week or early this week were at their Naknek plant and were either now recovered or being treated by on-site medical personnel. Alaska Airlines announced their plans this week for post-summer airfare in Bristol Bay. The airline will fly the E-175 jet in and out of Dillingham and King Salmon starting in October, the announcement says. The aircraft is operated by Horizon Air, a regional partner with the airline. The aircraft can seat up to 76 passengers and is, quote, perfect for many communities where larger aircraft are not the best option, unquote. Booking for flights in the region for after August 17th is available starting today. Alaska Airlines announced year-round service to the region last month after Raven Air Alaska shut down and filed for bankruptcy. An internal memo sent to NOAA Fisheries employees bars them from explicitly referring to COVID-19 or the pandemic in announcements without pre-approval. It suggests they use alternatives such as extraordinary times. For more, I caught up with Nat Herz with Alaska Public Media and the Energy Desk in Anchorage. He reported on the memo for NPR. Tell me what this memo was about.
So first of all, we're talking about the agency NOAA Fisheries or the National Marine Fisheries Service, depending on, you know, what they feel like calling themselves. And this is the agency that basically is in charge with managing all of the federal fisheries across the United States. So from Alaska on down to the, you know, West Coast and Pacific Ocean, down to Gulf of Mexico and back around to the Atlantic. And they do that with the help of like guidance from regional management councils in Alaska. It's the North Pacific Management Council. So in any case, there was a memo that came down from headquarters earlier this week where they basically told employees, yeah, you guys have to make, you know, announcements related to the way you're managing the fishery and announcing rules and stuff like that. And, you know, some of these rules or many of these rules may relate to actions you're taking in response to COVID-19 or the pandemic. But in the process of writing those rules, thou shalt not use the word or term COVID-19 or pandemic unless it's absolutely necessary. And so the document actually sort of lays out three different options. One option is you can say what you need to say without using the term COVID-19 whatsoever. The second option, which is only supposed to be used on a limited basis, is where you might need to make some reference to the quote-unquote current situation. And in that case, they sort of listed a bunch of approved like euphemisms that they can use instead of referring specifically to COVID-19. So providing seafood to the country remains an essential function, even in these extraordinary times, or we're doing this because of local health mandates and restrictions, but, you know, no mention of COVID-19. And if you depart even one word from these pre-approved euphemisms, then you're going to have to get approval from headquarters in the D.C. area. And then the last option was only to be used in an extremely limited basis, which was you can throw around COVID-19 or the pandemic, but that's going to require automatic approval from headquarters in D.C.
So what was the point of this memo, or what's it trying to accomplish from your understanding?
I think that's a question that we don't have an altogether satisfactory answer to. The agency says, you know, this is just to ensure consistency and they said, you know, we're not hiding from COVID-19. We have a whole, you know, web page about it. But, you know, their explanation of trying to ensure consistency does not explain why in this document they say that the preferred approach is to make no reference to anything COVID-related. The sort of obvious speculation that I heard from my fishing industry sources and people with sort of expertise in this area is that this is sort of a example of how the Trump administration is trying to downplay this issue and basically, you know, hope that the pandemic will go away. And if we talk about it less, people will be less aware of it. I think in this particular case, it may have backfired because now, you know, this is the subject of a news story that I think at least some people are paying attention to. So it's definitely sort of a perplexing thing that hasn't really been satisfactorily explained.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks so much for taking a few minutes to break it down for us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
Yesterday, we heard some tips on how to stay healthy and safe on the water in the first part of an interview with Dr. Kathy Hindman. She gave tips for the head and hands. Today, we're talking about the back, knees, and toes.
Okay, we talked a little bit about the back. Basically, you're spending your time hunched over, picking fish, so you need to stretch the other direction. And as a preparation, it's important to remember that the muscles of the back, of course, move the spine backwards, but we forget to get the muscles of our belly strong because they are the muscles that pull us forward. I know that I would benefit from doing sit-ups more regularly than I do, but I'm not going to pick fish this summer, and a lot of the folks listening are. So if you can work on doing some crunches to get your belly muscles stronger, that will help you not suffer as much back pain. And once again, you've been hunched over for a while, please roll back the other way, stretch your arms back, trying to get your elbows touching in the middle of your back will help your upper back. And if you can't really do that safely on a boat rocking around, you can at least do sort of modified push-ups against the rail of your boat to try to get your back curled back the other direction. Moving down the legs, we see a lot of infections right in the shin area. And I believe what's going on there is people are wearing rubber boots. They got to stay dry or try to stay dry. But their pants may become out of the boots or their socks kind of rumple down into the boots. And that action of the boot rubbing on the skin of the front of the shin has resulted in a lot of abscesses. And because people are busy picking fish, they let them go. And those things can become volcanic eruptions of pus in the emergency room. The simple way to help with that is wear socks that come up to your knees and tuck your pants inside so that you are no longer rubbing the hairs of your legs back and forth on that rubber. Another thing that we tend to see a lot of sort of toward the end of the season is basically trench foot, which is rotting of the skin of the feet because they've been wet for so long. It is very important, I believe, to wear wool socks because wool at least wicks the water away and doesn't make your feet marinate in their own juice. So change your socks regularly. Keep your feet as dry as possible. Keep your socks pulled up over your pants to prevent your boots from rubbing on your shins. Stretch your back. Stretch your wrists. Wear your goggles. And please wear life jackets of some sort, some kind of flotation device. The deaths that we have had in the bay have been associated with people who are not wearing personal flotation devices.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up. You know, I think that's probably one of the biggest life-threatening risks is just not wearing a PFD when you're fishing.
Yes, indeed. And I think it would be important to wear something that is obviously thin enough that you can work in, but quite possibly one of those cool things that are sort of water activated. You fall in the water and the CO2 cartridge blows up and then all of a sudden you're on the top of the waves instead of under the waves. It is not uncommon for somebody to break a finger or injure themselves in some way. It is important to have your safety equipment on your boat, which I'm sure you do. And I know, once again, that if you're in the middle of a busy picking season, what can you do if you got just a jammed up finger? You can tape it to the finger next to it as a measure until you can get in to harbor. If you're breaking something bigger, like your arm or your leg, that's reason to come on in right now.
Well, thank you for bringing a little light to these situations that a lot of people find themselves in when they're fishing during the season. Stay safe, everyone. Dr. Hindman is a stronger woman than I. The whole interview was posted on the show for yesterday. That's June 25th. You can take a listen there. Finally, this evening, culture camps are up and running around Dillingham. Usually, kids get together to do activities over the summer. This year, that's not possible, but organizers are still making it work. I caught up with Avery and Whitney Brown. They're 8 years old, and they told me about a couple of activities involving fish. Avery is the first one talking. What are you guys working on today?
We're working on the Pacific Salmon ID Marine Phase.
What is that project? That sounds very in-depth.
It's got a bunch of fish that it tells you the names of the fish and how it looks. It tells you the meaning of the names. There's a king, a silver, a humpty, a dog, and a red. We're also doing the journey home wheel, where I don't know what we still have to do on that.
So, Whitney, are you excited for this project also?
Yeah.
Do you guys know a lot about salmon and fish?
Well, they have a life cycle, and the fish, they like go to a river and lay their eggs, and then once the eggs hatch, they swim out in the open, and then they come back to lay their eggs.
Oh, okay, I get it. So that's why there's a circle, right?
Yeah.
Are you going to do any more fish projects, do you think, this summer?
Yeah, we're gonna do dissecting a fish, and it tells you like what you need to do. Like it says, if you use a salmon, look at all the outside parts of the fish carefully, letting your child touch any parts they wish and stuff.
And so you guys are those kids who are getting to touch all the different parts of the salmon and see how a salmon looks, right?
Yeah.
That's cool. Do you both fish a lot?
We're going to go fishing with my dad tomorrow, and we're going to see if we can catch a few fish.
Are you guys excited to go fishing?
Yeah.
Yeah, we got our own fishing poles, and we were taught how to cast, reel it in, but we still miss our friends, though.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you both so much for taking some time to talk about your summer and culture camp and the end of the school year. It was really great to talk to you.
Yeah.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
The next culture camp is July 6th through the 23rd. Registration will be open until filled. You can contact 907-843-0822 or debayer@alaska.edu for information or to receive a registration form.
Support for the Bristol Bay Fisheries Report comes from GCI, offering connectivity to communities around the state with the latest smartphones and internet packages. A full list of services and store locations at gci.com.
That just about does it for the show this evening. In the marine weather forecast, a small craft advisory for Bristol Bay. Tonight, a west wind at 20 knots, becoming a southwest wind at 10 knots after midnight, seas at 4 feet, and patchy fog. On Saturday, a southeast wind at 20 knots, seas at 3 feet, and patchy fog. And Saturday night, a southeast wind, 25 knots, seas at 4 feet, and rain showers. In the marine weather forecast from Port Hyde to Cape Sarachef, a southeast wind tonight at 15 knots, seas at 2 feet, and patchy fog. Rain expected as well. On Saturday, an east wind at 20 knots, seas at 4 feet, and Saturday night, a south wind at 20 knots, seas at 4 feet. In the tidal forecast at Nooshigak at Clark's Point, high tide at 7:55 p.m. at 15.5 feet, and low tide at 2:26 a.m. at 2 feet. At the Naknek River entrance, high tide at 7:16 p.m. at 16 feet, low tide at 2:43 a.m. at negative 0.1 feet. And at the Igigik River entrance, high tide was at 6:05 p.m. at 12.6 feet, low tide at 1:04 a.m. at negative 0.1 feet. That's it for the show. Good night, good fishing, and see you back here tomorrow.